Brandy Max is spelled with how many X's? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Locale Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello and welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name is Brian and I'll be your host. This is episode number 113, being recorded Monday, April 1st,
April Fool's Day,
2024. And today I'm going to be talking about season 4, episode 11, The Comeback Kid. Comeback Kid, great hardcore band. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. Just a reminder, this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. So, happy belated Easter to those who celebrate American Easter, at least. That was yesterday, which was Sunday, March 30th? 30th, right? Not 31st? I don't know how many days are in March anymore. I think it is 31. Yeah. Anyway, because my family, the family I have married into and created myself, we celebrate Orthodox Easter more predominantly, which is not till May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. So it's kind of weird, actually, that neither the American Easter nor the Orthodox Easter are in April. the you know, one's at the end of March and one's at the beginning of May, but it was a great day, at least here in the Midwest. Great weather. We went over by my parents' house, as we usually do. My brother and my dad actually helped out, so thanks to both of them. They with the Easter egg hunt that my daughters do every year. My brother has kind of made it a tradition since they've been little. And I mean, not a tradition. I mean, like, it seems like every house does this. But yeah, he takes his change jar that he just collects, you know, from however long, and just fills the eggs, you know, some with dollar bills, some with coins, some with nothing, some with just candy, whatever. But I think like it was around like 30 or 40 bucks used yesterday based on how much money the girls made. But what was good about this year, because every year he does it, he'll tell us, it's like, okay, I hid 35 eggs or whatever it is. We never find the eggs. We never find all of them, because he'll label them at least. He'll number them like 1 to 35. So it's like, okay, which one's not there? 32. Okay. I know that was one of the eggs. It's like, yeah, well, when you number them, but don't, you know, so this year he actually took pictures of every egg. But the fun thing was, like, at the end, so he did 38 eggs this year. The girls found like 35 of them. And then it was like, all right, we got to find these last three. So we've got the eggs out and we're putting them in order. And this is tough too, because the girls also don't want to mix their eggs, because it's like, well, I found this many, and I think Natalie found like a couple more, so she was convinced she would make more money that way. You know, hey, smart thinking. But anyway, so I'm trying to count these things, but it's like also try to make two separate piles, but make put it numeric. And so we were able to deduce which eggs were missing. And so he went through and he literally had 1 through 38 every single egg. Like, he took a picture of where he put it so there would be no shenanigans this year. However, he took really close pictures for like all of them. And my parents have a huge backyard. My mom loves to garden. So there are just random gardens and pots everywhere. Like, it looks awesome back there. However, where my brother took these pictures, you can't really see. Like, so that was actually more fun, I felt. Well, because I wasn't doing the Easter egg hunt, but like when it was like, all right, we got to find these last three, because the girls had kind of given up by then. So it was just me and my brother. And we're like, it was awesome, because I love like True Detective type stuff, or True Crime. There we go. Like, podcasts and stuff. So it was awesome looking at these little pictures and then just like zooming in on things. And it's like, okay, well, that's like an orange. there's something orange in the corner. So then we're looking around. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I told him next year, it's like, dude, don't even worry about the eggs. I don't care. Just hide random things and just take super close-up pictures so that I can go around the yard and just like use my detective skills. It was just a lot of fun. And also, baseball is finally back. I shouldn't be excited about that because, as you all know, I'm a Chicago White Sox fan, and they are going to fucking suck this year. I am always optimistic about the Sox just because, I don't know, one, I love the team, and also because they're usually in a crappy division, and they still are. I mean, like, at least the team that will win will deserve to win, but they won't go on to win the World Series unless it's the Sox. Because I actually, you want to check my Instagram at BryTimGo. I made a bold prediction that the Sox are going to win the World Series. Now, disclaimer, I know 100% that the White Sox are not going to win the World Series. They might not even win 50 games. Now, for those of you who don't follow baseball, there are 162 games. So if the White Sox did not win 50 games, that would put them as one of the worst teams in history. But based on how they've been playing these three games that they've played so far, opening weekend was just this past Friday, they're 0-3. They lost to another terrible team, all three games, obviously, the Detroit Tigers. And they even took one of our broadcasters, Jason Benetti, those bastards. But anyway, I love fantasy baseball. I have two teams. Both of them are called Mouse Rat. They are in different leagues, obviously, but yeah, that's been my team name for pretty much everything. I use Mouse Rat for a lot of team name stuff, but anyway, go baseball, go sports baseball things. I don't know. I guess let's just do a little, I promise it'll be quick this time, filler.
Everything he's saying is nonsense and he's fooling them.
All right, so yeah, like I said, I want to quickly just talk about the new Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. I don't like this new X thing, meaning like verse or with or plus or and. I hate that. Like everything is just like this X that. And it's like, since when did we start multiplying things? I don't know. I guess it's just like a clever way. And I'm just like a curmudgeon now. And it's just like, I don't like new stuff. But I guess the X is like kind of cool, but it's still, I don't know. It's everything was and this. It would have been Kong and Godzilla, the new empire, but now it's Kong X Godzilla. Anyway, title doesn't matter. So overall, and I'm not going to spoil anything. Actually, I have like a very, very slight spoiler, but it's not going to spoil like the plot or anything. Not like you need to worry about the plot being spoiled. If you've watched the trailers for this movie, you've already seen the whole thing. No joke. That's one of my biggest problems. They show way too much in the trailers, and they've done this with all of the Godzilla movies. I think Godzilla King of the Monsters might have been the worst one, where it was just like, dude, you gotta save some for, you know, like, let, because they showed like all the monsters during the trailers and whatnot, and that's what we wanted to see. Not all of them, but most of them. So anyway, back to this one, Godzilla X Kong. This just came out this past weekend, this Good Friday weekend. And so, you know, some of the things I liked about it, the CGI, a lot of fun. Godzilla and Kong, they don't look as, I don't think they look as good as they did in their original film. The original Godzilla I'm talking about, obviously not the Toho ones, but the one with Bryan Cranston, like 2014, very menacing. And then the Kong Skull Island, where he just looked fantastic. He wasn't as big as he is now, but he just looked great. As these movies keep going on and they're using way more CGI, it just starts to look more cartoony and more obviously CGI, more like video game, like a really good video game, like PS5 level. But you could still tell it's like, okay, that the movement's still a little off. Now they're making
how many kaijus are, inside joke,
but they're making these kaijus look fantastic. And like every single one of these movies, except maybe the 2014 one, like I said, because Bryan Cranston was in just a little bit of that. So the human stuff isn't too bad in that one. Every other movie since, including this one, and now there are six movies in this like King Kong Godzilla monsterverse that started in 2014, but the human characters fucking suck. There's like I don't know why they can't write these like. And the thing is, the actors themselves in this movie, I'm fine with them. I'm fine with the characters. Like in a lot of the other ones, I hate this character. I hate this one. I can't stand this one. This guy sucks. He's a shitty actor. The acting's fine in this movie. Or at least like to me, it didn't bother me. It was just that this cast all they do is exposition dumps. Everything you need to know in this movie, because Godzilla and King Kong can't talk, the humans just tell you. But it is just telegraphed so, like, just lazily. Like, there's one of the ladies, she's reading cave drawings, fucking cave drawings, and she's telling us exactly what happens and what needs to happen, and she's pulling names from these things too. It's like, this thing's called Shimu, the ice monster. That might be the spoiler I was talking about, but that's in the trailers too. But anyway, it's just everything. Wait, what's happening? Now Kong has to go to the surface and get Godzilla's attention. Just everything, just so we're not like, wait, what's he doing? Oh, okay. So I guess it's helpful, but again, it's just so lazy the way it's done. Godzilla and Kong together are just, they're so fun now. And that's another thing, I think, how menacing they were. They still are, because there's an awesome scene where Godzilla's being attacked, and it's just like, he's like, fuck you guys. It's an awesome scene. But, like, I love that they've given personality to these two. In, which was it? Just, oh, the last one, just Kong versus Godzilla. They actually had, like, Godzilla smile at one point, like a smirk, like after he, like, kicked like King Kong's ass or whatever. And then in this one, there's a scene where King Kong is fighting the Scar King. It's, like, his nemesis. And he does something to him, and he just makes a smirk, like, like, and it's funny. I don't know. It just seems ridiculous, but I love that they give him personalities. And then there's, like, it's in the trailers as well when Kong has to get Godzilla to, like, come into Middle Earth. So it's like, I need you to come directly into this portal. This is the way in. So it's like, he gets Godzilla's attention, and Godzilla, like, he's running, like, which I don't know how I feel about the running stuff. I guess it's fine. It makes it more menacing, but, like, I keep using the word menacing, sorry. And this filler is going way longer than I thought, but who cares? I guess I like talking about this movie more than I thought I was gonna. But yeah, so Godzilla's running at Kong, and it's like, Kong is like waving his arms, kind of like, it's so funny seeing a giant gorilla doing this. He's waving his arms like, no, dude, no. Like, we're not here to fight. And he's trying to, like, point at the portal thing. But, like, Godzilla has no idea what he's talking about. And it's just kind of like, eat shit, bro, you're mine. And then they just beat the shit out of each other. But then, like, Kong, you know, he gets an enhancement you see in the trailer, and he's able to take Godzilla down. But it was really funny. I just love that he's, like, trying to, like, he's, like, literally waving his arms like you would do, like, if Forrest Gump was running at you. You're like, stop. It's just, yeah, it was awesome. What else? I guess, you know what? I guess that's pretty much all I had. I was going to talk about something else. That was the spoiler I was going to say, but I don't really even need to talk about it. So Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, you know, it's definitely not the best one in the series. I'd put it lower, actually, to be honest. Like, in the end, like, this movie was only like an hour and 45 minutes, but it felt longer to me just because, like, the human stuff, just like it always does, just sucked. And, like, I will say the ending did feel a bit rushed. So I will give Godzilla X Kong the New Empire a 6.5 out of 10. All right, let's do a quick promo, and then we will talk about Parks and Rec.
You've heard others, but nothing could prepare you for the shameful stupidity that is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Here, Imran.
So if you offend everyone at once, it's a wash. I've covered everybody.
Anthony.
Sorry, I was texting. Say that again.
And Rug Boy.
Yeah, whenever there's a snowstorm, my slack hole tightens up.
As they talk over one another.
Just exactly the same as
Terminator.
We're talking over each other. It's fine.
Sorry.
Swear.
I had boobies.
And ask you for money.
Just give us the money.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
It's campy, silly, goofy fun. Jock and Nerd.
Season 4, Episode 11, The Comeback Kid. As I said before, and I just have to say it again, check out Comeback Kid if you're into metal, punk, hardcore, whatever. Fantastic band. Anyway, this episode was directed by Tucker Gates, written by Mike Scully. Mike Scully, you'll know him. He plays Pearl on the show. And again, I don't know if he's ever called Pearl, but this is the guy. We've only seen him once at this point in the series, Season 3, Episode 12, Eagleton. He's the one that was like, maybe like we could build a fence around their fence. And Leslie's like, what the hell would that do? And he's like, well, if they had to get to their fence for maintenance or whatever, they would have to climb over an additional fence. And then he's one of the citizens of Pawnee. He's great. He's a writer of the show. He writes for The Simpsons too. That's probably where you've seen his name. So the cold open, we start off in the parks department where Leslie has a big announcement. She's decided who she wants to be her new campaign manager. Remember last week, William and Elizabeth had to duck out because she was polling at 1% and they just figured it was kind of pointless. However, besides Leslie, no one's excited after she describes all the duties that will come with the job, which include basically being on call 24/7. So the person she chooses is Ann Perkins. I only say it like that because when you kind of look around the room, it's like, who the hell else was she going to choose to be her campaign manager? Ben's not in the office. You know, he's on his 2-week suspension. Chris can't be the manager. Ron, there's no way in hell he would do it. Like, who's competent? Like Donna, maybe. But who knows? Like, I mean, like it just, you know, so it had to be Anne. But I just love the character moments here and the acting, because it is so, like, it's just so accurate how they do it, and it hits so close to home. Anytime you've ever been in a room where someone comes in and is like, hey, I need a volunteer. So everyone, the first thing you do is you divert your attention. You look away from that person. You do not make eye contact with them. So like everyone's doing that. It's hilarious. Like Ron bends over. He starts like kind of fixing his shoe and whatnot. And like Andy and April are both just like, oh God, looking down. So then when she calls out Anne's name, of course, everyone's like, yeah, perfect. Great choice. It's Anne. And Anne's just like, wait a minute. I've never done this before. So she, like I said, she's confused. And she says she has no idea what a campaign manager even does. And even suggest Ben, but Leslie says he is poisonous to her campaign right now, so obviously he can't do it. So Anne reluctantly agrees. Now we're with Leslie, who sees William and Elizabeth, who I just talked about. She sees them in the hallway, and she's a little jaded, actually, because she finds out, actually, when she comes, and she's like, oh, are you back? Like, she actually thinks they're there, and she's like, because I just put a new campaign team together and everything, and, you know, so then they tell her, it's like, no, we're, you know, this is kind of our job, like, we're here looking for other potential candidates. So it does kind of, like, suck for her to hear that they're so easily just kind of like pushing her away, because she even says that it's like, oh, so quickly just move right on, and they're like, well, you know, that's our job, like it's nothing personal. But, and you know what, I would love to know, I wish, because this is the last episode we will see William and Elizabeth, I would love to know who else they sought out. Like, that would have been so fun. And we, again, like I said, this is our last episode, so we don't hear about, I'm pretty sure this is our last episode, but I would have loved it in the debate episode when you've got Leslie. We know her camp, or we'll know. You'll know by the end of this. Bobby Newport has Jen Barkley. So there's Brandy Max. There is Fester Trim. And then there's Manrico Della Rosa. Or Manrico. Yeah, I think that's it. Sorry. But we don't know who their campaign managers are. I think that would have been awesome if we saw William and Elizabeth just like very quickly just talking to one of them, like off to the side, and you're like, okay, so that's who they got behind. So they actually did get a candidate to get to city council. So I don't know. I just thought of that too when I was writing this, because it's like, that would have been so cool. Like, because they were fine. They weren't like shitty characters, and they weren't mean or anything. So it's not like, oh, we got to get them out of here. They were fine. So Leslie talks about her new campaign team and how great they are. Just of course, as she's saying that, Andy comes running into the hallway saying that he tried making ramen and destroyed the coffee pot. So two things with this. First, I love that Andy's using the coffee pot to make ramen. That would probably be very fun to do, actually, if you just literally put the ramen patty in the coffee pot. You'd have to break it a little probably to squeeze it in, or maybe shave off the sides. But yeah, if you just slowly let the water, maybe that's brilliant, or maybe that's how he broke the pot. The second thing, this show, the writers on this show hate coffee pots and cups. This is the third broken coffee pot so far. Ron in the cold open for the one, he broke the coffee pot. Remember when he was trying to get everyone else to fight about it, and you find out that he burnt his hand and he broke the coffee pot. So there's that one. And then there's in the episode, The Bubble, when Andy and Tom have to go work on the fourth floor, when that crazy guy comes in and he's like, hey, is this Mort Jensen's office? And they're like, no. And then he just grabs the coffee pot, pours it out, and then smashes it on the wall. Just one of the greatest physical gags in the entire series. But yeah, I love what they do with coffee pots in the show. But Andy, yes, of course, like when Leslie's talking about how great her new campaign team is, this idiot has to run out and be like, hey, Leslie, I tried making ramen in the coffee pot and I broke everything. I believe that's what he says. I broke everything. So it's just kind of like, all right. And she's like trying to kind of like tell them more so like, oh, well, you know, I've also got the, and they're already walking away. So it's just like, it's kind of sad. All right. Next, we're over at Ben, April, and Andy's house, where Ben is reading a book called Into the Den of Lions, written by Gay Perello. So quickly, this is an Easter egg. Gay Perello, who wrote this book, Into the Den of Lions, is the prop master on the show. She's been on Parks and Recollection once or twice, at least. They call her like the prop master general. So all the wonderful things you see in this show, the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness, oh my God, all the newspaper headlines, I mean, just like things like that, her and her team are behind this. But I love that she just gave herself credit in this one. Is just like, you know what? I wrote this book. And it's also awesome too that like, wait, Into the Den of Lions. There's another one. Maybe it's a Game of Jones. Maybe that's what I'm confusing it with, but I just love the book titles in this show. So suddenly, as Ben's reading this book, you kind of hear like a collar clinking, and in walks a three-legged pit bull. A beautiful three-legged pit bull. So Ben and the dog, they eye each other for a few seconds. Ben has no idea what's going on, and he just says, hi. It's such a great delivery because he's eating a bowl of cereal too, which I was gonna talk about cereal for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just had cereal in my notes. I fucking love cereal. My daughter Sadie and I are just really bad. Like my wife now buys the mega box of Cocoa Puffs, and like, man, so that's like good for a family of four for probably like, I don't know, 3-4 days. Like Sadie and I will like kill the box in like a weekend. But anyway, back to the episode. Then in come Andy and April. They come running after, and they're just like, oh my God, Champion, Champion. So we find out they are the new owners of this three-legged pit bull named Champion. Ben asks an important, hilarious question, though. Guys, I'm really sorry, but I have to ask, how many legs did that dog have when you found it? So, you know, they're very excited. They're like, oh, he has three legs, you know, but he's just as good as having four legs. He could do everything. And then April's just like, except digging. He's not very good at digging. It's great. Ben basically tells him, he's just like, you know what? He's like, no, that's fine. We can keep the dog. I have no problem with this. However, he's like, I'm not taking care of the dog. It's yours. And it's kind of like smart what April does. It's not even like we know it's our dog. She basically tells Ben, hey, we're getting a dog and you're going to help because you don't fucking work. You know, and he's just like she says, since you're jobless, maybe you could help out a little. And he's just like, cruel, but fair. So it's awesome. So just a little bit about Champion. Champion, who is a male dog on the show, is actually played by a female dog.
I think that's called a bitch.
I've never actually looked that up, the definition. Is that actually what it's called? I'm not even going to look it up. I'm going to let one of you text me or message me and say, hey, yes, it is. But no one probably will, so I'll never know. But anyway, the female dog is named Lucy in real life. And wait a minute. You're like, hey, we've heard that name Lucy a few times when talking about a pit bull. Yes, I have a female pit bull who kind of resembles this one. However, she has an extra leg. So there's that difference there. And actually, I do have a buddy I work with, and then his wife, who's like a longtime friend of my wife and I's. They have a three-legged pit bull who looks very similar to Champion. Maybe I could get a picture of Raleigh and send it. I'll see if they got any pictures and if they don't care if I post it. I'm sure you guys don't care either. But anyway, I think I subconsciously named my dog after Lucy the Pitbull because for whatever reason, it's like I was always like, yeah, Lucy the Pitbull. That's what it says like on IMDb and stuff or Wikipedia, played by Lucy the Pitbull. My wife and I've mentioned this before, we say that we named her after Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development, but yeah, I think subconsciously I named her after Lucy the Pitbull, and I won't tell my wife that. Robbie, Jamie, Mom, if you guys are listening, don't tell Joni that. All right. Another thing about Champion, he's in a handful, or she, he, whatever, is in a handful of episodes, appears in the series finale, and was also on The Office. Season 8, Episode 2, Fundraiser, the one where Andy adopts all of those dogs, kind of like what Leslie does. Actually, in a few episodes, spoiler, she adopts a bunch of homeless animals. But yeah, the one when Andy Bernard does that in the office, and it's like, sounds like his life is going to be awful because he has to like apply cream to dogs like every day and stuff like that. Yeah, you see a three-legged pit bull just kind of laying down there. If I remember, I'll put it on Instagram, but that's not a guarantee. Kind of cool. Okay, a lot of tangents on that one. Let's try to get back to the episode. Over to the Pawnee Rec Center, Leslie and her new campaign manager, Anne, brief the group on how they're going to market Leslie's campaign, The Comeback Kid. All right, well, I guess I have to kind of go off on a tangent here, and I have to mention it, even though I'm not going to play this clip. This is the one, this is arguably the most popular blooper from Parks and Rec. It is the one where, so this scene, Anne is just like, you know what? Everybody loves a good comeback story, a good comeback kid. Robert Downey Jr., Christian Slater, and then Andy says, Kim Kardashian. And you can tell they're kind of caught off guard because like Amy Poehler or Leslie is just like, oh, well, maybe I don't know so much about that one. And then Andy says, I don't know. I'm not going to say it on this podcast. I know I swear and stuff, but just go on YouTube and like Google or go on YouTube and Google. It's like when Jerry goes on Alta Vista and asks like how to Google stuff, but, go on YouTube and just type in bloopers, Andy, Kim Kardashian, and you'll see it. But it is one of the funniest things. And you actually see the entire cast break, or maybe not the entire. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause April actually, or, Aubrey Plaza, she actually slaps him in the arm after he says it. Like, she can't believe he actually said it. Almost. It's funny because it's like, the way she hits him is almost like she was anticipating it. So I wonder if Chris Pratt said to her, like, ooh, I got a funny joke and I'm going to say this. And she was like, dude, don't say that. So when he said it, maybe that's why she hit him. Or could it just been because it was so like inappropriate, but hilarious. But you see Jim O'Hare, Aziz, and Nick Offerman laughing like you have never seen them laugh before. It's incredible because it was such a good line. However, on this one, he mentions, you know, like a couple of, like the Mighty Ducks, I think, or maybe that was in a different episode when he talked about the Mighty Ducks. But anyway, Ann just tells us that the rally will be held at, and I love this name, the Pawnee Sports Building. So we've been here before. I just don't know if I've actually said the name. That's like where they had the basketball game, Ron's team against, Andy's, you know, back in season two or three, who knows. Now we're with Ben, who's at home. He's trying out a new adventure, calzone making. He also has his Letters to Cleo shirt on, which we will see him wear in four more episodes, including the show's final episode. And again, that's not season 7, episode 13. The final episode is the Parks and Recreation special episode, which is the one that aired during COVID. But yes, Letters to Cleo. This stood out to me the first time I saw this episode because Letters to Cleo, as it is kind of being, I think, joked here, but also Ben is very much so into like 90s alternative music. So maybe not, but Letters to Cleo is kind of famous for this song, this one song. I've never listened to anything beyond that. Maybe they're good, but I believe they're still a band. They still have an Instagram and whatnot. So, but yeah, it's just awesome that Ben wears this specific shirt you see in four more episodes. It's great. All right. Just then, Chris shows up to check on his best friend following his resignation in disgrace. Ben tells Chris that he's doing great, enjoying his time, and it's allowing him to work on other projects like his claymation videos. Chris, however, is very concerned. Over to Anne's house. Leslie has a meeting with local Pawnee legend Pistol Pete DeCilio. So in 1992, Pistol Pete's last second dunk, which beat Eagleton, just pretty much catapulted him to stardom. Also, it's awesome that it shows the newspaper headline and at the time, the team was called the Pawnee Drunken Savages. Team mascot later changed, Leslie tells us. So just more with the troubling past of Pawnee. Pistol Pete is played by Tuck Watkins, and he will appear in two more episodes. So though I didn't find an actual statement about this, I am pretty sure that Pistol Pete DeCilio is an homage or is like played in homage to actual former NBA star Pistol Pete Maravich, who played in the NBA for 11 seasons and was a 5-time All-Star. So I just remember my dad all the time would be like, I think there, maybe it was in the Hoosiers, or maybe there was a movie called Pistol Pete. There might be. I should have done a little more research, but yeah. So when I saw this episode and saw Pistol Pete, it was like, I've heard that before. So I had to look that back up, and it's like, yeah, okay, that's got to be what it's in homage to. So, all right. So now we're with Tom, April, Andy, and Ron, and Champion, actually, just because he's got to be in the episode, who are picking up the lumber for the stage for Leslie's rally. All right, another tangent here. Two things. One, why is Ron building the stage in this sports complex? I'm only asking this because, like, my job entails a lot of setups. And now, you know, I don't work at the Pawnee Sports Building, but places like this usually have things for events like this. This would not happen. Ron would not come in here, be it on this basketball court, and build a gigantic, not gigantic, but I mean, even if it was like a 10 by 10 stage, they would not be like, yeah, come on in, bring your lumber in and just build a stage, and then we'll just drag it out onto the basketball court. Like, they would have something. Or Leslie would just be on center court. Like, you don't need a stage when everyone's, like, in the stands. So I thought that was kind of, like, it's funny. It's definitely funny, but it doesn't make any sense that Ron would be building the stage. It's just, like, it gives, because they all have duties, so I guess it makes sense because Ron's, like, the woodworker. So it's like, yeah, I'll build the stage. But, yeah, you wouldn't be building a stage in a place that, like, you're just using for a day. It's just, I don't know. And then, two, why is everyone, including Champion, like I just said, with Ron? Like, why do all five of them need to go get this lumber? So it's, again, like, they need something for April, Andy, and Tom to be doing at this moment. But it's just, I don't know. However, there is a great scene as they all pile into the cab of this, the flatbed truck. Tom is the last one to be climbing in, and he's just like, no, he's like, there's no room. And he's like, April's just like, oh, it's fine. Just sit on my lap. And he's like, no, that's humiliating. Can I at least sit on Andy's lap? And I just love the, like, he's pretty damn funny in this scene, Aziz, because just the way, like, he's embarrassed to sit on April's lap, which, yes, it's like, well, no, she's a girl. I don't want to sit on her lap. Can I at least sit on Andy's? Like, it's any less embarrassing and pathetic that Tom is just so little that he's, like, asking if he can sit on Andy's lap. However, Champion is sitting on Andy's lap, and Ron's just like, he just, like, says to him, he's like, Tom, he's like, be a man and sit on this girl's lap. And Tom's just like, yes, sir. The way he said, it's just so, like, obedient to Ron, but I love it. And yeah, it's so he sits down on April's lap and they take off, I guess. All right, so we cut back over to Anne's house. Pistol Pete has shown up. It is a little concerning, though, right off the bat when they call him Pistol Pete, and he's like, oh, it's just Pete. So he's like, I don't like being called Pistol Pete, essentially. And it's like, oh, crap, that might not be good, because, like, we're banking on the fact that, like, we got this guy just because he is Pistol Pete. However, Leslie tells us in a talking head, you see Anne and Pistol Pete in the background talking, but she's just thrilled with how everything's going right now. And it's funny, she kind of gets down and even, like, starts trying to break dance. It's a really funny scene because she actually gets her head on the ground and, like, it's like, what the hell is she gonna do? And also, why is she break dancing when they're, like, in the next room, like, in eyesight? It's very funny, you know. So Anne comes over and just breaks it up. She's like, oh yeah, sorry. All right, back over to Ron and company. So they're driving, and it's like, this is a funny scene too, but, like, Andy really overdoes it here. He's just, like, acting like a child. He's pulling on the, you know, since it's a big truck, it's got one of the I don't know what it's called. It's just the horn cable, I guess, like, on the side that, you know, they just pull that thing. So Andy's doing all that, and he's, like, leaning over Ron, and then we just, like, we start hearing police sirens because, like, you know, Andy's yelling out the window and everything too, and it's crazy. So back over to Anne's house, we find out that Leslie's original plan for Pistol Pete was to get him to dunk a basketball and say, voting for Leslie Knope is a slam dunk. Unfortunately, Pete is done living in the past and is tired of being defined by that one moment. He does say, though, that he will fully endorse Leslie, but just as Peter DeCilio, not Pistol Pete. There's a great line here from Rashida. She's great in this episode too. She's got, like, coming up, she's got some fantastic lines and whatnot, but Leslie's just like, okay, so, like, can you please dunk? He's like, I'm not going to dunk. And then she's just like, what about a layup? Just the way Anne says, what about a layup? I love it. All right. Back with Ron and company. Uh-oh. They've been pulled over. As I said, you just heard the siren. So Ron tries to kind of like kiss up to the officer by commending him for the bravery of the job. However, that's not enough because Ron gets a little cocky.
Officer, I've been operating heavy machinery since I was 8 years old. Now, I respect you and your service to this town and your country, but what laws are we breaking exactly?
Well, you got four people in the front seat. Nobody's wearing a seatbelt. You were speeding and blasting your horn through the hospital zone. The rear of the vehicle's open, debris's been falling out, and you don't have a commercial license to drive a truck.
Okay. Well, we have a philosophical difference on what constitutes a law.
I need to see your hands, and could you step out of the vehicle, please?
And sure enough, right as this is happening, April calls Anne just to tell her that they're being arrested. So, quickly, I have to point out, when the camera shows, like, the side view of the truck, the long view of the truck, and then the police car behind it when you can see the wide shot of everything, the building in the background might look kind of familiar to some of you, maybe. I don't know. It is Patty's Pub from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The show that seemingly will never end, and I'm not saying that, like, in a bad way, like, this won't end. I stopped watching the show years back. I loved it. It was great. I just kind of thought, it's like, I'm good. It ran its course. I feel like it's a show I'll probably get back to one day. I think the cast is hysterical. They're great. But anyway, yeah, it's just really that they decided to stop here and use that as the site, because this is the, not the interior, I don't think, but, like, the exterior you see here, this is the exterior that is Patty's Pub in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. All right. So this is great because when Anne's on the phone with April, she's just like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Where are you? And you're just seeing Anne, like, you're hearing her, and she's just like, where are you guys at? And then she's just like, oh really? My mother's butt. That's real mature. So I love that. That's the second time so far in the series, maybe the last time, that we hear someone reply with your mother's butt. The other one in season 3, episode 13, the fight, when everyone is drunk and Donna's got them all piled in her car and she's like, okay, where to first? And Leslie's like, your mother's butt. And everyone, like, starts laughing hysterically, like it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. Also, I love that it appears right here that Leslie is hanging up on April, which impresses Anne, because, like, Leslie's in the middle of talking and then just hangs up. And it's just like, oh my God, you hung up on her. But then Leslie just says, nah, April had already hung up on me. So I love that. One, that April, or that Anne is impressed by this, because it's like, damn, like, they both see April as just kind of like a bully, like a meanie, I think. And it's just like, wow, you stood up to her. It's like, no, she already hung up on me. So Leslie says she's going to go downtown to get the others out of jail, which they don't go to jail. She intercepts them, but she does say she's going to spring them. She's like, because men in uniform love me. And we find out that that's true. She does very well with, like, Chief Trumbull and like Dave Sanderson and stuff, and the firefighter guy we see in the episode where they're trying to make the new mural for City Hall. You find out that she's, which I mentioned it back then, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was very likable just in like the 2 seconds. But he's like, yeah, we made this mural with all these all our favorite stuff, and it was like very like misogynistic, but it was like still funny, and like he was a likable character. But anyway, she just tells Anne that she must get Pete to dunk anything short of sexual favors. But, you know, if you want to do sexual favors, it's, yeah, just another awkward scene with Anne just like, no, I'm not doing that yet. It's like, well, I mean, if you want to take one for the team, kind of one of those. So back over to Ben and his new projects, I guess, with his calzone and his claymation. I love that he says. He tries to convince Chris that calzones are the Italian fast food of the future, even saying in 20 years, pizza will be obsolete. Pizza? Never heard of it. Yeah, love it. He then tells Chris of his idea for a fast food low-cal item that is its own container, and he will call his new Italian fast casual eatery the low-cal calzone zone. Chris is just like, that is the greatest name ever, and then it quickly cuts away to like a talking head, and he's just like, that's a terrible idea. Also, you'll probably recognize that line because I think it's in the intro. I think it's in the opening credits for this show still. Or it was at one point. I don't know. All right, so then Leslie shows up where the others were pulled over and pleads with the officer to let them go. It's just great because she's like, come on. I mean, like, these are my team. Like, what's the big deal? And he's the officer says that April tried to get Champion to bite him, which is awesome. Like, the way they shoot it is just like, yeah, that girl over there tried to get that gimp dog to bite me. And right when they cut the Champion, he's like, boom, like he barks at him. It's awesome. And then So yeah, she, and he kind of explains all the, like, explains a little bit about like why they got pulled over. So she eventually gets him to let them off. However, they can't drive the truck since no one has a license for it. Quickly back over to Anne's house. She tries to convince Pete to dunk still, but then he gets philosophical saying, sometimes life dunks you. So this is a part I was talking about with Rashida. One of my favorite Anne moments. Gotta say it, because I have to say it in every episode. Every episode has, like, one of my favorite something moments. Also, I have to stop pointing out when I do that. I'm sorry. The amount of things I point out that I do on this show is annoying. There will be a time when I point out how much I point things out. And then I should edit that out. Anyway, so Anne is talking to Pete. And she's when she's talking about doing the dunk, he's just like, you know, sometimes life dunks you. And Anne is looking at him, so the camera is catching her watching him, and she doesn't even move her head. She just moves her eyes. That's it. So she is now looking at us, breaking the fourth wall. It is so funny because Anne just basically has a look on her face like, what the hell did I get myself into? And it is just, the acting is, it's so subtle, but it's one of my favorite things. I just love it so much. Like I said, she's fantastic in this episode, and there's like more coming later. So now Ben's working on his claymation, which features a very small version of himself and even a diorama. So it's like cool looking though. I mean, he did a really good job with this. He used like good clay. And I say like a very little version, but it's like a foot tall. So yes, it's a little version, but not like a tiny, like a toy sized one. It's like the size of those old wrestlers, those like thick rubber ones, LJN. Elf, you probably remember. Sasha, I know you do. Anyway, so as Chris tells him that maybe he's not dealing with the firing in the healthiest way, I love Ben's response when Chris says he needs help, and Ben's just like, you mean with my claymash? But it's just great. It reminds me of season 6, episode 18, Prom, when he's like, how am I going to keep my Husker Du albums in near mint condition? I just love that Ben like thinks it's cool to like finish words with ish, like condition and claymash. Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know. People still do that, I guess, but it's like pretty dorky if you ask me. So then Ben tells Chris that he's not depressed. I mean, could a depressed person make this? And he's showing Chris the thing, and it, but then he's actually like a talking head and he's showing it to us. He's like, huh, like kind of showing it like up close. No, this is one of the iconic Ben scenes. It just shows like, yeah, it's, everyone loves this one because he looks like a crazy person as he's just like, no, I don't think so. So back over to Ron and company, they've been released by the police officer, but since they can't drive the truck, they have to kind of take any of the lumber that is still available, which it's such a great, like in the clip I played, how the officer's like, well, yeah, the back's open and a bunch of the lumber fell out when they show all the lumber just on the ground. I mean, it doesn't seem like something that Ron would do. So that's why it's like in this episode, it's kind of like, wow, like a real brain fart moment for Ron, like not having like the commercial license, which I understand that because Ron talks about how he thinks like the fire department is unnecessary. So I could see him being like, fuck that. I don't need a license. I can drive this truck, you know, and I don't know, but it's, yeah, it's just funny that they have to stuff any of the lumber that they have left, like in Leslie's little sedan. And then again, no idea how the rest of them got back. There's no way they all fit in her car, but doesn't matter. Back over to Chris and Ben. Ben tries to convince Chris that he's not depressed. He even shows him his new claymation that he's been working on.
Here, I'll show you my claymation project. Okay, now I've been working pretty hard on this, and I think it's really good. So just hang on to your hat, okay? Okay, here he goes. Did you pause it? No, hang on. Oh my God. That's the whole thing. That's 3 weeks of work. You're gonna be okay. No, I'm not. You see, in my head, I thought that was really, really cool. In fact, I emailed Leslie 2 days ago and I compared it to Avatar, Chris, and how can it not be longer?
So this, one of another iconic, this whole thing with Ben, like this whole storyline, is everyone loves this. I mean, like, stand in the place for you. And like, I always get comments about it on Instagram on the Parks Rec memes page. And people, that's just, I think people love typing that out, the whole like, stand in the, and then like having like the dashes, like just where it ends, because like everyone knows how funny it is that it's just like in the claymation itself, like little Ben just like getting out of bed. And the claymation actually looks great. However, it's only like 6 seconds long or whatever. It's just hilarious. So, you know, like then the video ends and of course Ben's going nuts and Chris just kind of assures Ben that they're going to work through this. So Chris is being like a great friend in this episode, you know, is essentially just kind of looking out for his best friend, I guess. Over to the Pawnee Sports Building, things have taken a bad turn where, and this is like very shitty on April's part. She's just like, this is kind of her, I feel like, devolving back into like season two April when she didn't give a shit about like anything. Not saying she does now, but she at least like she wants Elizzy to win. However, she's just like, oh, I forgot to tell you that the basketball court was taken up and the ice court's down now. And Leslie's like, what are you talking about? Like, how did this happen? And she's like, well, the guy, I don't know, maybe he didn't tell me, or maybe he did, but he was stupid. I don't get it. So like, just for those who aren't unfamiliar, this actually does happen, usually not at small places like this, but I mean, it is funny. And it, like, I was talking to my sister, Jessica, about this recently, just how the insane amount of like things that exist in this small town Pawnee. Like, they have their own radio station, you know, they like a highly syndicated, you know, crazy Iron the Douche, but I assume the Pawnee Sports Building is, it's not that big. I mean, like, you see, like, when it shows the crowd later, but like I was saying, in big arenas and stuff, a lot of basketball and hockey teams share the arena. Like, for instance, in Chicago, the Bulls and the Blackhawks share the United Center, and it's just very thick slabs of, like, the court that are placed down and go over the ice. So I'm told that on courts like that, it's a little colder. Like, if you like kind of lay down on it, maybe for an elongated time, you can kind of feel that it's like, oh, there's ice under there. But anyway, so April kind of fucked up here because they can't, you know, they can't really do a stage since it's ice. Also, speaking of the stage, since they don't really have any of the lumber because it all fell out of the back of the car, the stage that Ron made is about like 4 feet by 4 feet. So then Leslie's campaign banner comes, like, there's two guys walking with that, and you see that it's cut off, so it's just her eyes and then an L and an E. It's obviously for the beginning of Leslie, but it was cut off because, I don't know, Andy just says, yeah, it was cut off. So I don't, they actually don't tell you the reason. I don't know if they ran out of money or if it like got snagged on something. And then Anne comes in and she's like, okay, so Pistol Pete's here. However, he is a mess after, like, because they've been talking about his dad for like a few hours. So this is what I was talking about with Anne, like just how great her acting is here, because she's trying to like be sympathetic towards Pistol Pete, but also kind of like, dude, that guy's got some baggage, like, to Leslie, but also just like going back and forth, like he's got some dad issues, and you know what, like, but he's gonna do the dunk for us, but I don't want to talk about his dad because, geez, we could get into this. And it's just, it's hilarious how she just keeps going back and forth. But then of course Jerry pulls a Jerry, but not in a typical way of screwing up. Here he actually got a big crowd because that was his job, to just go out and get, you know, as many people as he could, Leslie supporters obviously. But of course, Leslie is pissed off because, like I said, he got a big crowd, and she thinks her speech is going to suck. So she's like mad at Jerry now because he actually did his job in a situation where she was, well, in the end, hoping he didn't do his job. So Jerry can't win ever, except in life and outside of the Parks and Rec department. All right. So later on, Leslie gathers everyone, or, you know, just like when they're ready to go on. Thanks them for their hard work. And she's just like, you know what, this is going to suck. It's going to be tough. So if you guys want to meet me at a bar afterwards, I'll meet you there. And, you know, they're like, no, screw that, we're going to come with you. So I love that they do like a hands in, you know, like all hands in, like, go Leslie. And you see Champion's little paw go in. So I think it's April. I didn't look at the hand, but one of them is clearly putting his paw in. It's just very funny. And it reminds me of a classic 80s movie, Monster Squad, where these kids, they have a treehouse, and there's a scene where they're all up there. It's a badass treehouse. but there's a dog up there with him. And you don't really think anything of it the first time they show it, but then they do something similar to this where they all put their hands in and you see the little dog put his hand in and someone's just like, how does that dog get up here anyway? Like, it's just so funny. Like, right before it cuts away, it's just like, because you're like, yeah, like, well, obviously they carry it up, but it's just, it's a great line. All right. So they head out onto the ice as get on your feet. Get up and make it happen. Plays. Yeah, there's actually like a pretty good turnout in the crowd too, you know, like not like a huge one, as I say, and just like going back to other episodes, like in the very first episode when Leslie's like, wow, what a wonderful turnout. And it's like 35 people in an auditorium that holds like 500. So this is like, but I mean, like they're making a lot of noise and it sounds really good with the music and all the applause and everything. You even see William and Elizabeth. Like I said, I believe this is their last episode. You see them in the crowd and I think it's kind of cool because I think they're there. Maybe they want to see like what she got. Like, we know where she's polling. We left because she's dead in the water, but let's just see, because I think it's like they like her, you know, but it's like they can't be her advisors. But I think it's cool that they're there just to see. It's like, all right, well, let's see what Leslie can do. All right. So as the group heads out to the stage, there's a problem and it's Tom's fault because I didn't mention it earlier. Tom talks about how he loves red carpets. Like, he has red carpets runners in his house. He even lines his shoes with red carpet insoles. So he was in charge of that, but he ran out of money. So they could only get the carpet to go about halfway. So now they have to walk across the ice. So this is just an amazing scene where the entire cast is just trying to walk, or not the entire cast, but like it's Leslie, Tom, April, Andy, Ron, and Anne, and Champion. Again with Champion, for whatever reason, like Champion is now with them for everything now. Even like he was just introduced. Maybe they just don't want to leave him alone. Not with Ben, which is kind of funny, actually. I just thought of that. Like, why isn't he at home with Ben? But it just, I don't know. They're just excited. But anyway, so they're walking out. And of course, they have to walk slow because it's on ice. And like the music stopped once they like hit the end of the red carpet. So then it's like, get on you, and it's like, it's hilarious because the music keeps stopping whenever whoever's like the DJ thinks it's time to talk, but then we'll start playing it again and it just keeps going. It's so funny. Like, it stops and starts back up again probably like 3 or 4 times. And I mean, just like everyone, like Chris Pratt, of course, I mean, he does like the over dramatic like where he's like yeah, comically slipping, like his hands and his arms are flailing and he falls over, but he just falls like right on his stomach. And it's like, man, Chris Pratt, like he takes a lot of good falls on this show, but I mean, you could just tell he's probably from growing up, like his character of Andy, how he says he used to like fight with his brothers a lot and stuff. That's probably like how he grew up in real life. I mean, like, I don't know if he has, I actually have no idea if he has bigger brothers. I think he does, but yeah. So he's probably like done this a lot in his life. Just like, yeah, just goofed around and taken falls. So, and then also Ron, for whatever reason, he's the one carrying Champion and Champion's peeing all over him. You know, he's just like, oh, this dog's peeing. This dog is peeing on me. And I never noticed this before when he actually puts Champion down, which is great because April's like, no, don't put him down. He's only got 3 legs. Like Ron didn't know that. You can actually see, because Ron's wearing a brown jacket, but like as it pans away, you can kind of see a darker spot. So I like that they actually added like the wet spot there. What if it was real pee? That'd be disgusting. Someone just took a leak on the jacket. That was weird. I didn't need to go that far. Very quickly over to Ben and Chris. Ben finally admits to Chris that he's possibly depressed, maybe a little bit. So, all right, but back over to the rally. Leslie's speech is a disaster. Her cue cards are all out of order. She's like, together we can make Pawnee kids more obese, you know? And she's like, okay, clearly that's not where that went. So she actually does like a smart thing though. She just kind of, she starts rolling with it. She's rolling with the punches. She's like, you know what? This is terrible. This is probably the worst rally that's ever happened. And like the camera shows the rest of the team, you know, and they're kind of laughing with her, just like, yeah, this sucks. And the crowd just, they're in on it. You know, they're just like, all right, cool. Like, we understand. Cause these people, they support Leslie. It's not like they're like, what the hell was this? Like, her opinions and stuff have changed. They still support her, so it's pretty awesome. But then you totally forgot about it at this point. Pistol Pete comes out, and he's just like, yeah. He's like, hey, guys, I'm a Pawnee legend. And voting for Leslie, nope. is a slam dunk, like he was supposed to say. So then he goes over and he's about to dunk. Mind you, on ice, they didn't set that. You know what they should have done? I just thought of this right now. They should have had Pistol Pete run up on the red carpet, and they should have had the basket literally at the end of the red carpet or even on it. However, nope. Two guys just kind of wheel it out on the ice. And of course, Pistol Pete goes up and whoop, he gets about 3 feet of air and just lands on his arm, breaking it. So, of course, and another thing that I love, Ann Perkins comes running over immediately. She's a nurse. I just love that that's her first instinct is just get over there and help. Also, she's been like with him all day. So maybe she's just like, oh, my God, not more on top of all his dad issues. All right. So. Later on, the crew heads back over to Ben, April, and Andy's place, where Leslie tells Ben that everything has been a disaster and that she wants Ben to take over her campaign. So this kind of, like, there was no discussion of this. This kind of, like, because there's a break, a commercial break, and then it goes from, you know, the disaster at the ice rink to her being like, we talked about it and we want you to be the campaign manager. So they didn't show any of this like in the car or anything, but it makes the most sense. And they really need his experience and his know-how. And I kind of like this. Like I said, I do like that Chris is being a good friend here, but Chris is also like just telling him, he's like, you're depressed. You're massively depressed. And it's like, he's kind of like, I'm not like depressed. He does admit to being like a little depressed, but it's like, no, I mean, I'm just kind of bummed out, but not, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Possibly depressed, but he, you know, Chris tries to like intervene and he's just like, well, no, Leslie, you know what, he's going through a lot right now and this probably isn't the best. And he's like, hell, he's like, I'll do it. Ben just like cuts him off and, you know, he tells Chris, he's like, you know what, I'm done exploring. He's like, this is what I want to do. And Chris is just like, okay, great, you're back. So he accepts the job and they fire Anne, obviously not like hard feelings or anything. Like, Anne's very excited about this. She's like, yes, thank you. All right, that's the episode. We just have the tag left. Leslie and Ann visit Pistol Pete at the hospital. He does have a broken arm. He asks Ann out on a date, which gets kind of awkward because she's just like, you know, let us know if there's anything else you can do for us. And he kind of shittily is just like, well, he's like, you know, can I take you out to dinner? So it's like kind of puts her on the spot with himself and then also with like Leslie there too. But then Ann lies and she's just like, oh, no, I can't. I'm married, which is a terrible excuse because it's like Pistol Pete was just at her house alone. Like nothing happened, but I'm sure there would have been mention of her having a husband or maybe he would have seen pictures of the two of them. But it's just funny she goes to that. But then Leslie, she shows that she is a terrible wingman and she's just like, no, she's not married. And it's awkward for a second, and then the episode ends. So on IMDb, this episode is sitting at an 8.5. This is a great episode. I had I spent a lot of time on this one because I had a lot of some Easter eggs and like breakaways and like other facts and stuff like that. But it's a great episode. I mean, like on when I do polls on Parks Rec memes, this one always does pretty well. Again, like I said, this is the second time I've done this episode because I covered it when I did when I was just asking you guys, it's like, what are your favorite episodes? Which one should I cover? And that was one of them. So yeah, this is I would probably give it like something higher, maybe like even a 9. Some of my thoughts and what I love so much about this episode, you meet Champion, you meet Pistol Pete. I love Champion and I love Pit Bulls. You know, Pistol Pete, he doesn't really have like big roles, but we do see him again later on. And he actually has, there's a, like one of my favorite Leslie lines. I'll just say it now, but we're not going to see him again for, till like season 6, I think. But, it's just like, he's a good character. And I talked about it throughout this, this episode that she is fantastic. I think this is maybe one of my favorite episodes with her because she just like her delivery and her acting with Pete is fantastic. What about a layup? And that look that she gives to the camera is one of my favorites. Get on your feet. And this isn't the last time we'll hear this either. We do get to hear this song again, the fantastic song by Gloria Estefan. It's such a great song. And the way it's used, how they keep stopping it, and the guy, like, whoever's playing it doesn't know if he should, like, get going again or stop and start. It's so funny. Requiem for a Tuesday. I didn't say the name. That is the name of Ben's claymation. Again, just like that iconic scene there and him when he's like kind of losing it. And he's just like, does a depressed person look like, or could a depressed person do this? no, I don't think so. You know, just like when he's like unhinged, it's great. And then also more Ben, the low-cal calzone zone. So Ben's fantastic in this episode. Anne was great. I don't know. I mean, like everyone else, there was no one in this episode that I thought was like kind of dead weight. Even Tom, who I always shit on, like the couple things, like lines he had and whatnot were so funny that, yes, sir, when he has to sit on April's lap. So that was a wonderful episode. And that is going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizendepawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. Please like and follow on Instagram at citizendepawneepodcast and at parksrecmemes. Next week, I'll be covering season 4, episode 12, campaign ad. And one last thing, I just have to plug, not my hair, thankfully, but I kind of mentioned it last week, and I talked a few weeks ago how I recorded with the podcast Parks Pals, which is another Parks and Recreation rewatch podcast. A lot of peas in here. It's very tongue twistery. But anyway, the episode I recorded with Holly, Live Ammo, which is season 4, that one is out now. You can find that wherever you get these episodes if you want to just check out Parks Pals podcast. I don't know what episode number it was, but it should be the most recent one if you want to check that out. And then the other episodes are great too if you want to check out their catalog. And then next week, I believe the other episode I recorded with her, because again, we did these like way in advance because they were ahead with their recordings, was the debate, which I was talking about earlier in this episode. But that episode should be out, I guess, the week of this episode when this one comes out. So keep an eye out for those ones. I also posted them on Instagram, so you can check them out over there. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to Citizens of Pawnee Parks and Recreation podcast. My name is Brian, and I'll see you next week. The Max in Brandy Max is spelled MAXXXX. 4 X's.